Welcome to America's Top Rebbitzins. In the Meredith's class, may Hashem give a refuah shlema to Tamara Bat Elka, and also may he watch over all the Jewish people and give enormous strength to the IDF soldiers, including Alon Ben Edit, Amir Ben Rachel, Amit Bat Dana, and Amit Ben Limor. Please click on the subscribe button to subscribe to us on the America's Top Rebbitzins YouTube page, or click follow to follow us on your podcasting app so that you are the first to know when an inspiring new episode is posted. Today, I am very happy to welcome Rosalie Saltzman. Rosalie is a prolific author and journalist who writes personal essays, short stories, articles, and educational books on Jewish religious and spiritual themes. Rosalie works as a freelance writer in Israel, and her work appears in many media outlets, including the Jewish Press newspaper, which is where I personally enjoy reading her work. Rosalie offers creative counseling sessions via Zoom, providing creative, out-of-the-box solutions to people's personal and professional opportunities and challenges. She's also the author of several books, including Soul Journey, The Money Book, and 100 Life Lessons I've Learned So You Don't Have To. I love that title, as well as many other wonderful books. Rosalie's books are all available on Amazon. And thank you so much for being here. Please tell us more about yourself and what you do. I just want to say, I personally love reading about you, reading your articles in the Jewish Press. I get the Jewish Press every week, and I always look forward to reading them.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to get some feedback. You know, as a writer, you don't get a lot of feedback. You know, you just, because you put your things out there and you hope somebody reads them, and you have no idea if they do. So that's, thank you.
Of course.
Well, you pretty much, you know, covered it. I have to tell you, I have recently been blessed for the first time with becoming a grandmother.
Oh, my
and,
God.
And thank you. And since we're talking speech, the first time we come into contact with speech, the meaning of words is when we're given our names. So, you know, it was very exciting to wait to see what they were going to name her. And a person's name defines them. It's their identity. It defines their essence. And it's sort of a destiny that we want to live up to when with our names. So that was my insight on that. Yeah.
That's beautiful. And it's true. And we really, our names are meaningful, especially our Hebrew names. They have actual meaning that pertain to us. If we take a look at our Hebrew names and, you know, if we don't know what they mean, we should definitely look them up. But once we understand what our Hebrew names mean, we can get some insight into who we are, like who we really are on a soul level. So I totally agree with you. So
what's your Hebrew name?
Oh, my Hebrew name is, it's Amuna.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, in previous episodes of this podcast, we have spoken about the power of positive thoughts and also looking at things positively and looking at things with a good eye in a positive light. But we've never spoken actually about the incredible power of positive speech until today. And I'm really excited that you're here with me because together we're going to uncover the incredible power of our words. By harnessing the energy of our words, we can boost our self-esteem, our own self-esteem, as well as the self-esteem of others. And we can also improve relationships, we can reduce stress, and achieve our goals. It's very important to realize that positive speech isn't just about what we say to others, it's also about what we say to ourselves. And I think people underestimate the power of positive speech, which is actually one of the most potent tools that we have in our lives. And I want to make sure that we're all on the same page. So can you please explain and clarify for us what is considered positive speech and why is it so important?
Well, I think positive speech is anything that you say that has a positive effect. It's something that's encouraging, validating, complimentary, anything that draws out the potential of another person by pointing out their positive characteristics. I mean, we all know what makes us feel good when we talk to somebody. We all know what words penetrate our heart and which words make us try to protect ourselves. So it's clear when we hear them what is positive speech and what is negative speech. I think this is very, very important. I wanted to put this in somewhere, now is a good place, that when we speak to our children, that the words that we say to them are positive and validating and encouraging and complimentary, because that's how we shape our children's identity. And there's so much criticism and expectations being leveled at children. And this is very, very dangerous for their well-being, their emotional well-being, and their futures. It's very important that our children are receive the praise and the love and the encouragement that helps them grow. I mean, they talk about plants, you know, if you talk to plants, I actually talk to my plants because I want to encourage them to grow, and I'm not really great at taking care of, that's actually a self-fulfilling prophecy that I have. When my future daughter-in-law first came over, she brought me a plant. And I don't know what it is in English, in Hebrew it's rekefet. And I said, oh my God, I have to keep this plant alive at least until they get married. And I did everything in my power to learn about how to keep this plant alive. And now I have another one. So I was talking to it, yes.
And did you find that it helped? Like when you were talking to plants and saying nice things to it, did you find that it helped?
Well, it helped me. It helped me feel like I was being a good mother to my plants. So I know, guys, how do you feel? Do you like my words? So no, but there is scientific proof that talking to plants and animals and kal vachomer people helps them to grow.
Right. And so, that makes sense. Yeah. No, and I really like what you were saying about children, about the way that you speak to children, because children form their identities based on we as their parents, what we say to them. So can you talk to us a little bit about more about that? Like what types of things should we be talking to our children about? How should we be speaking to our children? Because that's really powerful.
Well, we should be using as much positive speech as possible, encouraging them and not criticize. Criticism doesn't help. I don't know where anybody got the idea that criticism helps anybody. It doesn't. There's no such thing as constructive criticism. It doesn't work. Our world should always be pointing out the good in what they're doing, recognizing the good in what they're doing. You know, and you see parents on the street, you know, and it's amazing how some of them are so positive and encouraging and loving, and some are just destroying their children. Now we all you know lose it, and we all get crazy sometimes, and it's hard. But we have to practice speaking in a kind and warm and positive way, and telling our kids that we love them and how much we admire them. There's a book called How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and Listen to So Kids Will Talk.
Yes.
It's a great book. The only point I take issue is with is they say never to say anything that is judgmental, even if it's positive. Oh, like you're so beautiful, or like this art is so good. I take issue with that because, and people like to hear positive words. The whole point of what they say in the book is to be descriptive. In other words, not this is a beautiful picture you just drew, but I love the way the colors make me feel, and I love the way the lines in a, you know, so that it's less judgmental. And being less judgmental, and I'm speaking to myself as well, is a key in relationships in general.
Right, but being less judgmental, exactly. Nobody wants to be judged. Nobody wants to be criticized. Nobody wants to be put down. It's 100%.
Right.
You know, so, you know, as you're speaking, I'm just wondering, what is it specifically about the power of words themselves? You know, just because like right now we're talking, we're using our words, we're using our speech. What is it that makes the spoken word that comes out of our mouth so powerful that it has such an effect on somebody else? You know, what we say really, it could hurt somebody's feelings. It can make somebody cry. It can make somebody depressed. It could make somebody so joyful and so happy and so ecstatic. We didn't even do anything. All we did was open our mouth and say something. I'm wondering, what is it about the power of the word?
Well, it's the power that's been imbued by Hashem in the world. I mean, that's how he created the world, right?
Yes.
By speaking, by 10 utterances, he created the world. And so it's inherent in speech that it's a powerful creative force that makes the world, that constantly creates the world. And we create our lives by the words we use, and we create our relationships by the words we use. And now our thoughts, I've read about and heard about how our thoughts, even our thoughts alone, have physical powers, right? They reflect on, you know, the laws of attraction, all this, it reflects outward and causes reactions, physical reactions to occur. So when we add speech to that, which is one step above, it creates a world, right? And yes.
Right.
I have a very, sorry.
No, I was going to say, yeah, I totally agree with you. Completely creates a world. You know, it's almost like what they say about magicians. You know, they say abracadabra, I create as I speak.
Yes, absolutely. But don't say that in a Harry Potter book or you might hurt somebody. But
it's true.
Yes, I have a story. I've written this and I've told it many times, but I think it's one of those powerful stories about the power of speech. I was working once as I was giving a class in English for students who were trying to learn for the matriculation exams, and they had failed or something. So I was like a course that I was giving one afternoon a week. This was 30 years ago, and longer. And in the school there was a janitor, and he had to set up the classroom for me, and he had to make sure I had chalk, you know, basic things. This was when they had chalk, so you see how old the story is. Anyway, he was like stereotypically grumpy, you know, like he would growl, and he would like, he was just, it would have been comical, but I needed the chalk. And every week I would go in there and there wouldn't be chalk, and I wouldn't have, and I was, and I was reading at the time, the book by Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Sorry, not a Torah source, but a very good book anyway. And it was talking about talking to the person and finding the good in them and complimenting them. And you know, and I said, you know what, I'm gonna try this. And I said, so what can I say to this guy? This is an old janitor, you know, what am I gonna say to him? And finally I said, you know what? I bet this entire school could not function without you. I bet the school would just not be nowhere without you. If you wanted to see an instant transformation in a human being, that was it. He suddenly dropped the anger. His face lit up. He stood up straighter. He smiled at me, and he started to tell me about his whole life, about how he'd been running the school. And he told me about his job and his children and his grandchildren and his wife. And he asked if he could come over for dinner. No, he was just overcome. He just became transformed into an important person in front of my eyes, just because I'd recognized him and I'd validated him. Needless to say, I didn't have to ask for chalk ever again. And anytime he greeted me, it was with such warmth and affection and joy to see me, just because I had recognized that he was a person who was worthy of respect. And so we really have the power with our words to transform not only our own reality, but the reality of other people.
That's a really powerful story. I'm so glad that you shared that, because, wow, I'm soaking in it. It really, really is transformative. He went from being this grumpy guy to this person who was so excited to see you and give you what you need and, you know, just be friendly around you, just because you just said something to him. You didn't give him anything. You didn't give him money. You didn't do anything for him. You complimented him. You saw something good in him and you brought it to light by speaking it out loud and saying it to him. And that created a huge transformation.
It did. And like I said, it was 35 years ago. And it made such an impression on me, you know, I mean, that
yeah.
how, and I wasn't being fake. I wasn't being flattering. I mean, I was being flattering, but I wasn't being manipulative. I was just looking for the good in this person. And I found it. And that's what we all need, to be recognized as worthy, good people.
It's for sure. It's 100%. And we can do that for free using our words. I really firmly believe in the power of words. And I really enjoy the example that you shared with us about the way you use them to transform this janitor. So, you know, before I forget, you know, I have another question for you, but before I forget, you're a writer. And as I mentioned earlier, I read your articles in the Jewish press. And I want to ask you about the power of the written word, because it's still a word when you write it down. Okay, it's not as powerful as when you speak it, for sure. But I want to get your thoughts about the power of the written word.
Well, no, actually, I think it's more powerful because when I speak, I'm not really, I was actually very nervous about this interview because I don't, it doesn't come out the right way when I say it. Because somehow the connection between my brain and my keyboard is better organized than between when I try and speak, because sometimes I say things and people don't get what I'm trying to say. But when I write, I have more control over what I'm saying. I can choose my words better. I can review. I can, you know, usually I don't change a lot when I write. I do my first draft and then I just tweak it a bit. But certainly when we write, we have more of a choice and we have more time to deliberate about what we're going to say.
Yes.
I think the written word is very powerful, and I feel very gratified when I hear that my writing has affected somebody. I was doing a series of books with Robin Meyerson. She's a cute, yeah, you know. We did a series of books on. We did her thing is she's the head of the West Coast Chevra Kedisha,
Yes.
and she works very hard against cremation. So we did a book together called From This World to the Next: Stories About Burial and the Afterlife. And sometimes she'll call me and she'll tell me that someone's decided not to be cremated because they read the book. You know, and we did a book on Shabbos, so somebody decided to keep Shabbos because of the book. Certainly what I write about, I try and write. You'll notice if you read my articles that I try about write about things that are inspiring, that will get people to do mitzvot, that are worthy endeavors that people should, you know, check out. Sometimes I write about animals because I like to go and investigate and see animals. But yeah, definitely the written word has the power to, and we are the people of the book, right? I mean, who else but us? I mean, the Jewish people are the people of the book, and it's not just the one book, it's all the millions of books that have come out of that one book and out of our experiences, you know. And you, oh, I have to tell you the story. This, did you read my story about, I just found this an amazing story. I wrote about this Holocaust survivor, and she got Mengele to help her sister. She came to the camp, and her sister had just had a baby, and the baby was taken away. And she had been nursing the baby, and she had an infection. She was in tremendous pain, and she went over to him, and Mengele came in. Yimach Shmo, and she asked him how to take care of her sister, and he told her. And to me, that's just an amazing story.
Wow.
And they had this very, like, you know, polite conversation where she says, "Please, doctor, can you help? Can I ask you a question?" And he says, "Sure, what can I do for you?" And this was such an incredible story to me. And she saved her sister. And
Amazing.
yeah, and now we have a generation of Holocaust survivors who are, you know, we're in the last generation of Holocaust survivors. And it's so important to get their
Testimony.
testimony, right? Because there's so many inspiring stories. And you said that you interviewed somebody who had been at the who had survived the October 7th
Yes, the Nova Musica
attack.
Temple. Yes.
Yeah, right. And I mean, we need those stories. Those are stories. I mean, everybody, I've known, I live in a neighborhood in Petah Tikva, not a special place where you have, you know, incredibly celebrated, famous people living, just regular people. And I find so many of my stories just in my own neighborhood because everybody has an incredible story to tell from their lives. Everybody, I could stop somebody in the street,
I
you
agree.
know, and say, "Tell me your most incredible story." And it'll be incredible because there's so much hashgacha pratit. There's so much amazing narratives of our own lives that it's certainly worthy of a story. And that's why I try to tell positive, inspiring story. You know, people try and get me into dialogues about, you know, the war and all the terrible things that are going on. And there are terrible things going on. We definitely need to recognize them and mourn them. But there's so many stories that are inspiring and humorous and uplifting that I think those are important to focus on. I mean, that's who we are as the Jewish people. We are people of inspiration and inspiration. And those are the stories we should be focused on. And those are the positive things we should be saying. And as Jews, we have to notice the positive things that are going on around us.
Do you feel like if we notice the positive things and we speak about them or when we write about them, do you feel like it brings about more positive things?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are people, you know, there are people that we're all on a continuum. But you've met people certainly who are, oh, wow, it's wonderful and everything's great and you're such a wonderful person. And, you know, people who just emanate light and positivity. And there are people who are just negative and grumpy and pessimistic, and you don't want to be around them.
Right.
And these two people can experience the same event and they will see it in a completely different light.
It's so
you
true.
Know,
Yes.
I think my best example of this is Facebook. You know, you have people on Facebook who are always posting the light, and you have people on Facebook who are always posting the dark. And people are always complaining, and people are always finding miraculous stories to share. And we're all in the same world, but everybody's seeing it differently.
I
And if
find
we
that
want a
so
life,
interesting. Yes. Mm-hmm.
If we want a life of positivity and of light and of joy, we need to recognize it
Right.
and talk about it.
I was going to say we need to recognize it and we need to talk about it. I really love that. I know also I want to say that words from the heart enter the heart. You know, when you were talking about before from your own personal experiences, the way that, you know, when you write things down, those experiences really affect you, like they affect you personally on a soul level in your heart. And you speak about them and you write about them and you transmit that to others through the power of the word. And because you do that, it enters another person's heart. You know, because I read, you know, we all read books, newspapers, online, Facebook, everything we read, but not everything that we read penetrates us. Not everything we read goes into our hearts. So I'm talking about for me personally right now, when people write about something that really moves them, that really affects them, those are the things that I resonate with. I may not agree 100% with everything that the person said, but it resonates with me. It enters my heart, you know? So, and that's what I love about your writing, because your writing enters my heart.
Thank you.
Yes.
I want to talk about something before I forget. I want to talk about something very, very, very important
Yes.
that I don't have a lot of platform to discuss, but I think it's very important that bullying is a horrible, horrible, horrible thing that exists.
Yes.
What it does is it traumatizes people for life. I was bullied as a child and it just traumatized me for life.
I'm sorry.
And I want to tell you that, you know, and worst kind of bullying is spoken bullying. Like a person will get over if somebody hits them. But there are words that people say that stay for you forever. And I think it's very important if there are any educators out there, principals, teachers, parents, you should never, ever undermine the power of the negative, destructive power of bullying. And saying to kids, you know, deal with it or ignore it, or they're just jealous, or, you know, what can you do? It's just like killing them. It's awful. And that I think there should be a zero tolerance for bullying of any kind. And that should be a priority for any educators and any people in chinuch, and certainly parents should make this a priority to make sure that their children aren't being bullied.
It's you know, it's very true. I'm so glad that you bring up the point, because as powerful, you know, as positive speech could be, negative speech could be just as powerful in the opposite direction. And that's a really, really good point.
It's actually more powerful, and it's evidenced by the fact that you have to pay somebody about 10 compliments before they'll accept it, because we have, I don't know if it's Yetzirah or we're brought up to be modest or what it is, but it takes much more to build somebody up than it does to destroy them. And words can be very, very destructive. And they can build and they can destroy. We have to make a concerted effort to make sure that we are building up our spouse, our children, our colleagues at work, whoever, because we can be, the effect of words is just not given enough power. It's not understood. The power of words is not understood enough. And that's why there's so many initiatives of Shmirat HaLashon, and it's very important.
It's for sure. Yes. Oh, definitely. Definitely. And I appreciate you bringing that up. Thank you. You know, and so I mentioned earlier that positive speech does not only apply to the way that we speak to other people, but also the way we speak to and also about ourselves. And I think that many people tend to put themselves down, call themselves names, and speak about themselves in a self-deprecating manner, and sometimes even in a derogatory way. You know, just like the way that we speak about others affects them, the way that we speak about ourselves affects us, because words have power. And we want to use our power for the good. So can you please share with us why positive speech is especially powerful when it comes to our own internal dialogue and the things that we say to ourselves?
Because again, it's creating a reality. If we say we're going to fail, we're going to miss the bus, we're going to not have enough money, we are creating that reality for ourselves. Now, part of the reason we do this is because we want to be modest, or because we are trying to protect ourselves from the very things that we are saying, or we're repeating negative scripts that we heard in our childhood. But this isn't helping us. We have to say, yes, I'm capable. Yes, this will work out. Yes, we'll catch the bus. We have to use this definitely with ourselves. It's interesting that I'm invited out, Baruch Hashem, a lot for Shabbat meals. And in most households, when the woman is serving the meal, she will say something derogatory about it. Oh, I burnt the chicken. Oh, it's not good. Oh, look, it's too watery. And I've seen this over and over again, and the food is fine, but it seems to be like a prerequisite to serving to say that the food isn't good and the food is good. So, you know, I don't know if they're like, I don't know why they're doing it. They're trying to make sure that somebody else doesn't say it. But we definitely have to look in the mirror and say, we look good. Excuse me. We have to give ourselves the same credit and encouragement and self-love that we give to other people. But the same thing about constructive criticism is that we think if we find fault with ourselves, we'll improve. But that's not how it works. And you'll notice this with children. If you yell at a child for doing something wrong, they will, you know, almost like withdraw to themselves and be sad and be self-punitive. But whereas you give a compliment to a child, that they will blossom and grow and smile, you know, and you can do this. You could do this even when you're trying to get a child to do something. Like, instead of saying, look, your room is a mess, and how you make a room like this and you have to clean your room and you never clean your room, you could say, you know, your room looks so nice when you pick up your things and put them away, and look how nicely you cleaned, I don't know, 3 inches of the room. I bet you can make the rest of the room look like that. So we can get kids to be disciplined and behave in a way we want them to, by being positive, and ourselves as well. You know, we can compliment ourselves as well.
I feel like that's really, really important. I think you just touched on a great point, because a lot of times, I want to use the example of losing weight. You know,
you know what? Sorry, I'm sorry to interrupt you. You're doing it right now. You're saying, "Oh, that's a great point. Oh, yeah, I so appreciate what you're saying, and it's encouraging me to speak," you know, whereas if you said, you know, that's a really stupid thing to say, can we talk about something else? I have to go, you know, so that's a great example of how you can help somebody be more positive.
Thank
yes
you.
Sorry,
No, I appreciate you pointing that out. Thank you. I was going to use the example of losing weight. You know, a lot of times when, you know, women want to look good, and sometimes they don't feel so great in their bodies, and they're talking to themselves badly. Oh, I'm so fat. I don't look good in this. This dress doesn't fit me. I look fat in that skirt. You know, whatever it is that they say to themselves. You know, And that's not exactly self-love. You know, if we talk to ourselves from a place of, you know what, I'm beautiful. Whatever size I am, I'm beautiful. Even if you authentically want to lose 5, 10, 15, 20 pounds, even if you generally need to do that for health reasons or you want to do that for the way that you look, if you start off from a positive place, from a place of self-love, I find personally that that takes you farther in your goal and whatever you want to do, because you don't get in shape and get healthy through self-hate. You do it through self-love. You know, it seems counterintuitive, like, you know, the drill sergeant whipping you into shape, but it's really, really not like that when it's coming from yourself, when it's coming from inside of you. It has to come from a place of, I love myself in order to want to lose the 10 pounds or 12 pounds so that I'm healthy, so that I feel good in my body, so that I feel comfortable in my skin. You know, it's very, very important the way that you talk to yourself. And that's just one example about losing weight, but I can go on and on with many different examples, but it really matters the way that we speak to ourselves.
Absolutely. Yeah. And because we're with ourselves the most, we hear ourselves speaking the most. So, and I think also a sense of humor is very important when you're trying to do anything with yourself. You know, like instead of being negative, being appreciatively funny.
That's a really good point. It's so funny because my daughter always tells me I have no sense of humor. But you're right. When I see other people using their sense of humor, it really does work. It lightens the mood, you know?
Well, tell her it's not productive for her to say you have no sense of, but she's I take it she's a teenager, right? So she doesn't really mean it anyway.
It's true. How did you know? It's true. She's a teenager.
Yeah, because little small children think their parents are perfect, and older children recognize their benefit. And you obviously have a sense of humor. You couldn't interview people without a sense of humor.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. So a conversation about positive speech would not be complete about an understanding of negative speech so that we know exactly what to avoid when we are speaking. We did mention this a little bit earlier, but specifically, there are two main concepts in Judaism that I wanted to talk about. The first one is called Lashon Hara, bad speech, which is any derogatory or damaging statement against an individual. And the second concept is Rehillis, which is a prohibition against gossiping. So I just wanted to take these one at a time and see if maybe you could please explain these concepts more in depth and why they should be avoided. And we can start with Lashon Hara.
Well, Lashon Hara is anything that will hurt another person, either in their parnasa or in their reputation, or in somebody's relationship with them. So we don't want to say anything that could hurt somebody else, and that's not even necessarily something negative. It could be something positive that could be misconstrued into something negative. Rechilut is saying what somebody said about you. So if I hear somebody say that they think that the other person needs to lose weight, and I go and say, this person thinks you're fat, then that's rechilut. And that will cause damage within a relationship. There are so many, I'm going to also send you a link to a WhatsApp group for Lashon Hara, but we can do the most damage with our words. And there are things that you can fix. If you steal money from somebody, you can fix that. You can give them back the money. But if you say something about somebody to somebody else and that hurts them, you can't take that back.
Sure.
Even if you say, oh, I made a mistake, people's reputations, people's lives have been ruined by Lashon Hara. And because we talk so much, and now communication has just gone, over the top, in which communication is immediate and instantaneous, and it spreads out to the rest of the world within 3.5 seconds. And with all the social media, there is just no end to how much harm we could do when we say the wrong thing. So it's very important to guard our speech and think twice before we say anything about anything to anybody. And although there are instances where we are allowed or even supposed to say something derogatory about somebody who can hurt us, we have to be a million times more careful not to do that today than in the past, because now we we know the world, basically, and we can just put something out there that can hurt so many people.
And it's true. And it's so interesting because now we have technology. We have recordings. We have videos of something that somebody said, you know, that can go viral. We have voice messages that can be shared. You know, you used to be just one-on-one, or if you said something to somebody else, it'd be just maybe three people, four people, or whoever that other person can tell. It wasn't thousands of people across the world that could find out that you said something negative about somebody. So you're right. It is more dangerous today than it was before.
And it's so, and it gives people a sense of power, how they can hurt people. And it's very, and it hurts people. It hurts people when we say negative things about them. Even when we say them and nobody hears it, we're saying it to ourselves. We're talking about self-talk. So if we're saying to ourselves that somebody is a terrible person or lied or cheated or stole or whatever is ugly, whatever, then we're imprinting that in our own minds and in our own hearts, and that can affect how we relate to them. So even if we say it to ourselves, and we also have to be careful because people speak within their families, you know, and if you tell your spouse or you tell your child or somebody overhears you telling, it can have a really detrimental effect that we can't, you know. I like that. I mean, it's a well-known metaphor that when you speak Lashon Hara and you try and fix it, it's like taking a pillow and throwing the feathers out into the wind and then trying to recoup them, and you can't. So we have to be very careful of our speech. And in general, to speak positively, because somebody who speaks positively in general is not going to say anything derogatory about somebody else. Also, if you're speaking about somebody else for any reason, always imagine that they can hear you, or that they're going to, and they will hear you, because anytime you say something derogatory about somebody, it gets back to them, right? So if you don't want them to know that you said that, you know.
I really like that visual. Anytime you want to say something negative about the other person, just imagine they're in the room and they could hear you.
Right.
It's a very powerful concept. It's a good deterrent.
Yes, it's not my idea, but I'm just sharing it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I like that. So we have time for one last question. And I want to say that the power of speech is not just a lofty concept. I mean, it really is a way of life, and it has the potential to elevate a person, like we were saying, and to set them on a happy path in life, you know, as we were talking about children. And I read a quote about this that I really love. Change your words, change your life. So I want to ask you if you can please share a story or two, either about yourself or somebody you know, who has been able to make a positive impact on their lives or on the lives of others through positive speech.
Well, you know what? I have. It's me.
Okay.
Because when I started becoming religious, I didn't know this. I used to vent all the time. I used to talk all the time about how this person hurt me and that person hurt me, and how could they say that? And I would just go on and on. And then I read Rabbi Pliskin's book. I forgot what it's called. the first book that was written about Shmirat HaLashon. And it started making me more aware about my speech. And then I read more books about it. And then I wrote a book about it, Finding the Right Words, which was about Lashonara and the Parsha, guarding your speech in the Parsha. And then I started a Lashon group. And I'm on a group. I mean, it just spiraled into, from me being somebody who was always talking about how other people were hurting me and were always complaining, into somebody who's very much more, I mean, not perfect, but much more careful in the way I speak and much more aware. And anybody could do this, and anyone do this with any mitzvah. But speaking positively and speaking in a way that is, and the person who benefits most is us, because when we're speaking positively and when we're not condemning and when we're not complaining and when we're seeing the hashgacha pratit and the joy and the goodness in other people, we become happier. We become, and you could try this at home. You know, if you sit down and talk for 5 minutes positively, you're going to feel happy and light and everything's great. And if you sit down and talk 5 minutes negatively, you're going to feel awful. You're going to feel, you know, like, icky inside.
Yeah.
So the first person we want to, the first change we want to make in the world is in ourselves. And as once we make it ourselves, and we can make it in other people. And as we become more positive people, we spread the joy and the love and the light and the positivity. And in the same situation, we can find the good, or we can find the bad. I mean, there are so many, there are WhatsApp groups about all the good news that's going on in the war, all the miracles, all the celebrations, all the achievements. And then there's the news, you know, which one do you want to listen to? There are people who sit watching the news all day. This is not a healthy way to live. This is not going to get you to think positively. No. But we have to definitely weigh our words, because this is what separates us from every other creature on earth.
Right. Our power of speech. Yes.
Our power of speech.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much, Rosalie, for joining us on America's Top Rebbetzins. In the Meredith class, may Tamara Bar Elka have a refuah shlema, and may Hashem watch over all the Jewish people and give enormous strength to our IDF soldiers, including Alon Ben Idit, Amir Ben Rachel, Amit Bat Dana, and Amit Ben Limor. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Amit. Thank you.